Let's go ahead and get into this wonderful Bible study that the Lord has prepared for us. And let's open up our Bibles to John 14. And God willing, we will get through this precious chapter and possibly here tonight if the Lord doesn't come first. But we left off last week with such wondrous encouragement and the key truly to obedience, the key to surrendering to our Lord. And it's love. And it is. It's so wonderful, isn't it? It's so beautiful. And we think about how Paul, he said that we would know the love of Christ, to know it, and to know it in every dimension, in its heights, its depths, its width, its breadth, its length, every spectrum of it, that we would know the love of Christ. And this is why the Lord is telling here in chapter 14 precisely why he's going to ascend to the right hand of the Father. I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. I'm going to send you the Spirit of Truth, who is the one, praise the Lord, as it tells us in Romans 5:5, that takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in our heart. If we truly want to be obedient and surrender our lives to the Lord, it's going to be through the power of the Holy Ghost. I know most of us, we think about that in a way of, well, surrendering that I'm always going to do the right thing. No, far more than that is surrendering to know truth. When you know truth, and the truth that he wants you to know is truth in love. This truth in love, not this truth in memory, even though memory is wonderful when you memorize his love letters. Amen? But it's truth in love, to really understand the ways of God, not just the acts of God, but the ways of God. And the ways of God are love. It's always love. He does everything to and for us because he so loves us. And we thank God for this. But this is why it's so wonderful, the necessity that we would never grow up fully in his love without the Holy Ghost to give us all knowledge of him, to bring us into all truth. Because to know him, hallelujah, is to know love, because God is love. Amen? And you've heard that expression, to know him is to love him. Yes, amen. To know the Lord is to love him. That's why we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I am so thankful for the simplicity of that. Again, the Holy Ghost, the one that sheds the love of God abroad in our heart. You talk about power. Remember, as he told Peter, he said, you'll have power once you're filled with the Holy Ghost, son. You know, that Spirit comes upon you, you're going to have, and you be filled with it, you're going to have power. And the power comes from love. And that love, praise God, causes you to be obedient and surrender. It convicts, it chastens you to cause you to allow him to will and to do of his good pleasure. As the Word of God says, the Spirit is willing. As the Word of God says, if we walk in the Spirit, we do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And again, it's because of love. It's because of love. And praise God, that love shed abroad is like a geyser, hallelujah, that leads us along. And I've said it many times, and I'm thankful to God. I believe by his grace, I'll say it many more till I see his face. When you love someone, when you really love someone, you will sacrifice willingly, joyfully, gladly, thankfully. Amen? Aren't you thankful to do that? When you really love someone, praise God, you do things that you never would have done. When you really love someone, you will walk away from things so gladly to embrace the one you love, it doesn't matter. Amen? Because you're in love. And that's what this truth, praise God, wants to have in the relationship and fellowship with us, is that love. He goes on in verse 19. We left off there. He tells them very clearly, the world doesn't see me. See, the world saw Jesus for 33 years. And the world will see him no more. Because the world can't see him, because the world has no faith in what this is speaking of. dead. But he says, you see me, and because I live, ye shall live too. Isn't that wonderful? And you can imagine, again, in this Holy Ghost that's going to come, the Holy Ghost enlightens the eyes of our understanding. Amen? You talk about seeing Jesus, he's the one that gives us enlightened eyes of understanding. To see him, praise God, to see that truth, to see him more and more. And praise be to God, what a comfort it is. Like we can never express in the infilling and the fullness living of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Praise his name. Aren't you thankful you know the depths of the gospel of Christ to comfort you? You know that? I mean, I'm thankful to God I know the 23rd Psalm. But I know the 23rd Psalm according to Paul's gospel, 23rd Psalm. You understand what I'm saying? See, he gave us the Holy Ghost to talk about glorified together with him. Amen? Boy, I'm chilling up right now just like I can't believe. But to know that, to have that absolute assurance in the love knowledge of the truth, there is no greater comfort. I know that I know. Amen. All right, let's pick it up from the 20th verse. Jesus says in chapter 14, 20, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Praise God. See, in Christ, isn't that wonderful? And in the Father, hallelujah, and I in you. It gets more intimate than even in the sense of, obviously, you're in my hand, and then my hand's in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. We need to understand that power. But now God is bringing intimacy in a different way here, that we're in, hallelujah, in Christ, in Christ. See, again, this is getting us ready for what? Ephesians, amen? Everything's in Christ. It is. It's all in him. The praise of the glory of his grace, it's all because of him. And specifically what it says at that day, the day they're speaking of here is Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost, praise God, is sent by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he comes down and he dwells in them. They become filled with the Holy Ghost and the power that they receive, the Spirit of truth, hallelujah, that comes to abide in them, the ability to be led into all truth, that they will now abound in believing, how? By the Holy Ghost. And where does it say that? Let's go on over to Romans 15, 13. That should be one we memorize by the grace of God. That is a very powerful assurance of the necessity and then the thanksgiving that you can't even express of the infilling of the Holy Ghost in your life. In 15, 13. Now, it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. See how that works? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. See, that's how we abound in hope. That's how we are filled with hope. With what? With all joy and peace in believing. Because it is. It's the Holy Ghost again that causes the love of Christ to be shed abroad like a geyser in our life. And we know that the Word of God says that faith worketh by love. And then also we know that the Holy Ghost is the one that comes and leads us into all truth. So this is what this is we believe. And we believe in, and live in the most holy faith. We pray in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that wonderful? And you see that extra encouragement and comfort that we get. But we need it in this time because I'll tell you, these are dark times. Amen? Amen. But we see this, and we see why it's that day that they will know. Because the great, and I love that how Paul Golden brought that out, the knower, the great knower is coming. He's been with you, and he shall be in you. The knower, and that is the Holy Ghost. It's his Spirit. It's by his Spirit. It's not you. It's the Spirit. Amen? And that's that power, and praise God, that great grace. But that knowledge would fill into them, and they would enter into that love abounding that would give them the ability to see and believe. Let's go on to verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now here we go again. When we read that back in the 15th verse, if you love me, you keep my commandments. So we're back to those commandments again. And I want you to think of it a little bit differently tonight as well, too. You know, the commandments, what they represent, if you think about that, it's authority. I love it. It speaks of authority. And when love is shed abroad in our hearts, and again, the Holy Ghost gives us that love, don't you love your Savior's authority? I love that. I love that my Savior created everything. I love that my Savior told me, I created evil, son. That doesn't shock me. That gives me great peace. He knows it because he made it. And then he appoints the evil for the day of, the wicked for the day of evil. So when we got a feral thing to be done, he knows the hardened heart that he's going to use. But as he said about Pharaoh, he said, it's all to my glory. I'm using him for my glory. Do you see how he uses those to tempt you, to test you, to try you in an absolute event that he has already specifically won? Total victorious for you, because you're more than a conqueror. You just, by the grace of God, walk through it, already done. Remind me of this, amen? And as we're just going through, that's why I say we're going to praise him, because in due time, you know, we know that these are seasons. And joy cometh in the morning, but I don't want to just be praising him in the morning. I read about these wonderful brothers and sisters that they started singing songs at midnight and at night and in chains and thanking the Lord that they were believing him that he will deliver us. He will. And praising his name in that. So let's continue to pray for one another. Lift up these hands of one another to trust God fully. But see, this is seeing and loving his authority. And it says that that keeps these commandments. And see, that means of heart, to treasure. And only the spirit of love, the Holy Ghost works that love in our lives to walk in the will of God. See, love keeps us full of Jesus. Amen? Love keeps us full of him. When we're occupied with him, when we're filled with that wine, praise God, it just pushes all that other stuff out. When you're in love, you're so occupied within love, you don't think about the other stuff that much. You just kind of walk in love. And boy, I'll tell you, when you walk in his perfect love, not only has he fulfilled it all on the cross for us, but it's amazing what the Holy Ghost can perform in your life. When we walk in the Spirit, we do not yield to the lusts of the flesh. Amen. That's walking in love. That's walking in wedlock. You walk in a faithfulness. You know, when you are in love, you know, you get engaged in things like that. You don't look at anybody else. We shouldn't be. Maybe you're not in love. I don't know. But that's the one you love. You're faithful by the grace of God. You don't try to be. It's just what it is because you're in love. I thank the Lord. I'd always see that with, I always appreciated how much my dad loved my mom. And I just even growing up and seeing these different things. And dad was just interested in mom. That was it. Might have been lots of pretty things around and all these different things. But you know what? He was in love. Didn't matter. Praise God. See, that's that relationship with the Shulamite. See, those daughters of Jerusalem, they were trying to say, no, wait a second, you're just too in love with this fella. You know, it's bothering us. You know, it kind of is. And you know how when people sometimes are really in love and you don't really get it, it bugs you. Well, come on, aren't you going to have fun with us? Nope, I'm in love. I only have fun one way now, and that's with the person I love. Remember those days? It's the truth, and this is that fellowship with the Lord. And that's why, praise his name, that I pray that that love, which is the love for him, which is the only love we have for one another, is Christ in you and Christ in me, that's why we love to fellowship and be together. That's why we love to come to hear truth in love. Praise God. So, and he's performing that, and we know that because, again, it's just the evidence of yielding to God. But here as well, may we remember about the commandments, and specifically as what the Lord commands at this time. And I love how it says it in 1 John chapter 3. We read that last week. In 1 John chapter 3, it says, "And this is his commandment, that what? That we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, praise God, and love one another as he gave us commandment." See, those are the things, is that we love one another, and again, as Christ loves us. And but before that's ever going to happen, I love that, that, you know what? Believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. You have no love without being saved. None. But then, growing in that love, and again, isn't it appropriate because he's giving us the Holy Ghost? Because that's the only one that's going to grow us up in love. It all is so perfect, it's just breathtaking. It's wonderful. There's no gaps in the Word of God. And I love the quote this man said many years ago, "The faith by which we are saved, the faith by which we are saved does not destroy our obedient walk." Oh no. The faith by which we are saved is the same faith that supplies all that encouragement that the fruit of obedience would abound in our lives. It's the same faith. Amen? It's like the Lord's encouragement in life. See, grace isn't the excuse to fail. It's the reason to prevail. It's the reason to triumph. That's the grace of God, and we thank the Lord for that. We know that it's there for that, but I love the grace of God that can even cause me to yield to the Spirit. Praise his name. It's wonderful. But we see, again, what it's all about. It's about love. Goes on to say here, we love the Word, and the Father loves us. See, this is how the Father is ravished by us, when we are smitten by his Son. Now you say, well, where does it say that? Well, it says you cannot, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, then I'm going to ask you, and how do you get faith? How does it work? By love. You see that? It's love. And that's the whole purpose of it, is we need to grow in that wonderful love of God, and we will, praise the Lord, believe him more and more, and that's what pleases the Father. And matter of fact, let's see what the Father actually even says he's searching for. And we read that back in John chapter 4, and in verses 23 and 24, it's very evident of who the Father is looking for when I say it's about love. You can't deny this. In John 4:23, it says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in what? In spirit and in truth." See, that's truth in love. Praise God. That's truth in all knowledge. Hallelujah. "For the Father seeks such to worship him." And again, who does the Father tell us him is, or who does the Father tell us to worship? His Son. Amen. So we know who this him is. "So God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And once again, I go back and never forget the meaning of the word worship is to draw nigh in fervent love as to kiss. So there it is. Praise God. Again, the evidence that this all works in love. It doesn't work in me trying to be diligent. It doesn't work in me trying to keep something. It's just like this, "He who keeps my commandments." This is speaking of the heart. This isn't speaking of an effort or a work. This is a keepsake. Like praise to God, it's something that's just dear to the heart. The Lord is dear to us. And this is fellowship. And the reason I can say that we're that this is fellowship is going back now to verse 21. It says there at the very end of that, let's see, "And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." This is something even more. This word manifest, most people think, well, manifest means to see something, in a sense, visually or something with your eyes. But there's more here. It's far more. Manifest here means to know. See, the Lord is saying that I'm going to manifest myself to you. You're going to know me. Isn't that wonderful? And think about what Paul says in his epistles, that we would know the love of Christ, that we would know him in the fellowship of his suffering, in the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his death. It's all about knowing him, as Peter finally wraps it all up. Grow in grace and in what? The knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what does the Lord say? I would that all men be saved and come to what? A full, complete, exact, intimate knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. So we see this wonderful truth of this manifest all comes from this wonderful love. And my, through the Holy Ghost, we now have come to know him. And we thank the Lord. And we love the Word. And the Word manifests himself to us. And you think about the Word manifesting himself to us. As Jesus manifests, as we see the Word, as we know the Word, as that Word begins to really affect us, what happens? He that wills to know will know. And we know him. And how do we know him? We know him in comfort and encouragement, even in a trial. How do we know him? We know him in the heights and depths of his love. How do we know him? We know him even in the depths of the things of God. How do we know him? We know him in the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He wants us to marry him. How do we know him? All by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's how you know him. No other way. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Praise God. And that is great grace. And that is really getting at it. See, the height of love, brothers and sisters, is more than just emotion. I do encourage you, there should be emotion. There should be great spiritual emotion. I'm talking about emotion that you can help but be that tea kettle that just you go and to praise him. And as David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. You know, you just can't contain it. That's a wonderful thing, but it's even more than that. It's even more than that. There's evidence. See, not in word only, but in deed and in truth. And the evidence, brothers and sisters, is submission and submission to all his perfect and complete will. You'll read that about David. You'll read that about David always being faithful and always being true. And people look at that and say, how was David always faithful and all those different things and all that? No, he always loved the word. He loved the word. He never parted from the word. He made some big boo-boos in his life, but he always loved the word of God. And I'll tell you what, when we surrender like that, you got to be in love. And love like that, you'll yield to God. Okay, let's go on to verse 22. It says, Judas saith unto him, and this isn't Judas Iscariot. He says, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? You see how bad we need the Holy Ghost? Because really, without the Holy Ghost, you're going to ask a lot of stupid questions. You know, you're not going to what it is you're not going to understand. You're not going to understand. And what was so sad and what it's kind of getting at here is, we ask of the Lord. We don't know a thing, but it's the Lord that shows us everything. But what I'm talking about is the Lord has told him over and over, you know. But he's still not believing, is he? He's wrestling with it. He's not settling down in the truth. You want to settle down in the truth? Get filled with the Holy Ghost, get full of the Holy Ghost, stay full of the Holy Ghost, and go after Paul's gospel, and it'll be a wonderful thing for you, and you'll settle down. Hallelujah. You won't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You'll put away those childish things. You'll stop thinking of yourself and begin to just want to magnify him. You'll understand the beauty of it all is truly, I'm seriously just beside myself, just praying before we started here, just thanking him. To praise him for his grace. To praise him for who he is. That he's finished it. That I am his workmanship. Praise God for that precious praise that is so exact to what the Father and only the Father can do because of the grace of God. Hallelujah. And it is. It's just beyond that a wretch like me, a wretch like we, would see these things, praise his name. But this is how bad we need the Spirit. You can't see these things without it. And this is why Jesus told him back in verse 17. See, he just said it. That's why I go right back. We said this last week. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. See, he just told him that. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot receive. See, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. And again, that's such a precious evidence that in order to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you've got to be saved. So you cannot be filled with the Holy Ghost until you're saved. It can't happen because, again, it can't be received by the world. The world cannot receive the Spirit. It's amazing. You want to argue, it's like, okay, I'm going to hit my head against this brick wall, and it's coming down. No, your head is bleeding. You're going to get even more kooky real soon, huh? But this is what it is. The word is only for them that are Christ. I love how Jesus says, I don't pray for the world. I pray for them that the Father has given me. You know, a lot of people don't like that. Better get with it. Better get with it. Go read about David and his boldness. I was reading Apollo today. He said, you know, send them quickly to hell. It's like, well, that wasn't nice. No, he knew what God would do. We're talking enemies, those that wouldn't change. He said, no, let's just get it done. You know, amen? So we thank God. That's why we say in a lot of ways, that's what John's saying at the very end. Even so, Lord, come quickly. Praise the Lord. All right. Verse 23. Isn't this fun? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word. See how it is? And my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. It was very precious to hear this. You think about the disciples at this time and how afraid they were and how every one of them, you know, all forsake him. You know that. Peter denies him. Philip's doing this. They're all, oh, we got to get out of here. And there's no faith at all, you know. But the Lord says, I love you to the end and all of that. But you think about what was so sweet and so many different things. These same disciples would all, they say John, they really don't know, but they would all be martyrs for him, whether they were beaten to death, whether they were crucified upside down, beheaded, whipped to death, whatever it was. And think about this statement as well, too. You would never die for a lie. You would never die for a lie. I appreciated this man kind of bringing this out, and it's kind of with this verse. And what I mean by that is, all of these disciples that were such chickens, let's just be honest. I mean, they just ran. You know what I'm saying? Had no faith. They weren't standing with Jesus. No way. We're going to preserve our own life. And here, at the very end, not a one of them would deny his name and be killed for his sake. So again, that's what I say. They would not. You talk about another testimony. They would not have died for a lie. What they knew and what they saw is that Jesus rose again. See, the world didn't see him after he rose again. They didn't. He appeared to his believers, the ones that saw him ascend. It's just so beautiful. That's how he is. And his word is true. And it was those that saw him ascend, those are the ones that believed him. And those were the same disciples that saw all this. And what a testimony in that. They'll assure us by the grace of God, we would not have died, us chickens. We would have denied him if it were a lie. I just love that. I thought that was such a sweet little thing that I read. But it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, we see a change here. It's my words. Moments ago, if you keep my commandments, the commandments speaks of authority, but now the words, now we're talking intimacy. There's a different level coming here. We're talking about grace. In Proverbs 8:17, it says very sweetly, I love them that love me. I love them that love me, Those that seek me early shall find me. See, praise God for daylight savings. You get up earlier. And see, but what is going on here is these words that it speaks of here, the words that love my words, there's a deeper mining going on. See, we had the love of the authority, and I see that with servants, faithful servants. They love the authority. And you see that there's a love of authority to a palm waver. There's a love of that authority. I love that, you know, and I do, and I thank God I have that love too, because we are, as we love him, he causes us to will and to do of his good pleasure. There's a servant quality. Absolutely. Every Mary that's worshiping at the Lord's feet has that Martha spirit as well too. But just because you have a Martha spirit doesn't necessarily have a Mary. See, when you love him and you be at that feet, you will be used of him. You know it. You can't help it, can you? Because he causes to will and to do of his good pleasure in your life. But see, you see that aspect, in a sense, of when we only love, in a sense, the authority, you see people that are like palm wavers. But then there are the friends, these words. And there's even more in the friend, because it's a friend and a lover. And I love that about the Song of Solomon. You know, you say, well, what do you mean by friend and lover? Well, let's see what the Shulamite says in Song of Solomon 5:16. She says, his mouth is most sweet. Remember, this is the one that said, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. So we're talking some very intimate things here, amen? But he says, she says, his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. O daughters of Jerusalem. Isn't that something? Yeah, I always loved to counsel these kids. I said, you know what, you're getting married, and yep, it's the one you love. But that one you love better be your best friend. Your best friend. Everything you do, you want to do together by the grace of God. And I, you know, you can say whatever you want in that, but I see it in the Word of God, and I think it's wonderful instruction and encouragement to one another. But this is deeper fellowship. The ones that will know him intimately, again, how? Through the Holy Ghost, the depths of his love. And again, it goes back to his words. Amen? And that's truth. Amen? And that's being led into all truth, the Holy Ghost. Amen? There it is. Again, that wonderful pattern over and over and over. How many times have we seen it? You're going to see it all throughout the Word of God, because that's Paul's gospel. And notice the fellowship with the commandments. It was manifest or made known. Amen? You saw that. He says, all manifest myself. You'll know this. That's what it was speaking of, in a sense, the commandments. But with the words, it says the Father and Jesus are going to make their abode with us or in us. There's an intimacy there. And remember, we talked about that when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you in my house. In my Father's house, there's many mansions. But we talked about that, and that was that precious story that we heard, especially happened right there about Christ's time, when a man would propose to a woman, and that was going to be his wife. He would go back and make the abode for them in the Father's house. That's the way it was. You know, they basically, he would bring her back as his wife, and they would have their abode in the Father's house. So you see this bridal encouragement right here once again, that it comes through that wonderful, the words. You love my words. Don't you love truth? And you know why? The Holy Ghost causes you to love the truth. That's why you're here on a Wednesday night. Yeah, maybe some of us didn't have a place to go. But no, I'm just teasing. But see, but you love, I had to wake you up. You love the truth. And you love to come and to hear the Word of God, and to hear the Lord speak to you, that my sheep know my voice. Amen? This is him. This is I'm a mouthpiece, but this is his truth. This is his word. This is his love for us. And this is that love, that fellowship that we have in the words. And we love it. And this is that living together stuff, the double portion, as we see here, again, to the Father and to the Son. Got to kind of move here. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my saying. So see, you see that very clear there. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So again, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Unbelievers have no respect for the word of God. They have no ear for the word of God. They even mock the word of God. This is why the world cannot see him. He does not manifest himself to the world. They have eyes and they see not. They have ears and they hear not. 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them. Amen. And it is an absolute foolishness. We see it running rampant right now. 25 and 26, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So really, as he's staying here, he says, basically, because I'm present with you, it doesn't mean as much to you. I got to go. This Comforter is going to enlighten the eyes of your understanding. It's very interesting, isn't it? I am is right there. But they can't get it. And there's a reason they can't get it, because it's the plan and the will of God. You must be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you're really going to know me and you're going to really hear my words. And that's why I say, you know, a lot of folks, they just love to stay in. And really, the Gospels are wonderful. It's wonderful truth. But the Gospels are so much more wonderful truth when you know Paul's Gospel. It's just like the Old Testament. It just goes, whoa, man, that's what that means in there. But you see what I'm saying is that, no, you can't see what's in them Gospels. Jesus was even telling him, you can't understand what I'm saying. Matter of fact, he goes on to say, I have many things to say unto you. We're going to read that. We're going to hear that. We know that. But he says, but I can't tell you those things. There's nothing more I want you to know and to love than my words. But he says, but I can't tell you these things because you can't understand them. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, oh yes, he will guide you into all truth. He will take the things of mine and he'll show them unto you. Amen, amen, amen. So this is so wonderfully powerful of what this is. But like I say, notice here too, in verse 26, which is so beautiful, it's all things. It's not some things. It's all things. And he brings all things to remembrance. And in 16:13, you're going to be led into all truth. That's why Paul said, I did not withhold a thing. That's why Paul says, I preach the whole counsel of God. Amen. So vitally important that we feast upon all the word of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And there's something really beautiful here. Going back to John 5:43. Read this here. In John 5:43. Now this is Jesus saying here, I am come in my Father's name. So Jesus came in his Father's name, and ye receive me not. Okay? Think of that statement, I am come in my Father's name. Now, we get to this portion right here. Jesus comes in the Father's name. Here, we just read, the Holy Ghost is going to come in Jesus' name. Isn't that sweet? See, Jesus came in the Father's name. Jesus came and made the Father known and glorified the Father, whereas the Holy Ghost comes and he makes Jesus known and he glorifies Jesus. And what is the Holy Ghost bring to us? All truth. The completeness of it. Isn't that wonderful? So we see again, I don't want to jump ahead. We'll get there in just a second. Verse 27, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Powerful, wonderful verse. And the power of this verse is the double portion of peace in here. First of all, he says, the peace that I leave, the peace that I left with you, that I'm leaving with you. That's the atonement peace. That is the peace, praise God, that we have with God. We have peace with God because of Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. We believe in Jesus as our Savior. We have peace with God. We'll always have peace with God because now I'm a son of God. Amen. And he loves me. Praise the Lord. And he'll always see me as his son. I'm accepted in the beloved. So that is the peace with God. But then he says, and peace I give unto you. That's the peace, praise God, that is only enjoyed by the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That is the very peace, hallelujah, that our Lord and Savior moved in constantly on this earth as a man. That's that peace that he had because he was so confident in the Father's will. He was so confident in the Word of God. Praise the Lord, there was unsevered communion with him and the Father. Now, we can attest to this truth, can't we? When are the only times in our lives when we are absolutely in perfect peace, when we are not shaken whatsoever? When our mind is on the Word of God. Amen? When we're in fellowship, praise the Lord, with the Father's will, which is the Word of God. Amen? When we are just consumed with the Word of God. But when are we shaken? When we're distracted. Just like that. In one absolute moment. And it hit my home yesterday again in that moment. And I just smiled and I said, now wait a second. Nothing's changed with God. Nothing. Nothing. A couple circumstances may have adjusted. God is still on the throne. My advocate is still at his right hand. And praise be to God, I've got the one who takes all the things of Christ, minister them to me. So, Lord, help my unbelief. Amen. And he did. Came right in there. Came right in there. And it was so precious, too, how powerful prayer is. Right about that time, got a couple little texts and emails. And, you know, one brother called me a sissy. I don't know what that meant. No, I'm just teasing you. But those are good things. And it's true. But that's the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous. It avails much. And it's always so precise. And the Lord knows when we need those little, really sweet nuggets of encouragement when it's getting a little dark. He brings them. And then notice here, the world's peace is destruction, right? World doesn't even have any peace. They cry peace and safety, but it's always going to fail. But his peace is forever. It's unending. And his peace, praise the Lord, is the only thing that will ever keep us from fear and being troubled. Money won't do it. Relationships won't do it. Things going well in your life will not do that. That will end. It will fail. But his peace is forever. It's everlasting. Praise God. Because why? Because he's the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. So we thank the Lord for that. 28. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and I come again unto you. If ye love me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. See how badly he wants them to get this? He does. He just loves him so much. But he knows. But this is what's so sweet about our Jesus. The passion that he has. But then it's like, no, but this is why I'm doing this. This is why you're going to get this. You have to be filled with the Holy Ghost to understand this. But see, love brings faith. And that's what he is encouraging here. If you would love me. Isn't that wonderful I said? If you'd love me. You'd believe everything I say. Again, that's Galatians 5:16. We quote it often. Faith worketh by love. So write that down. Galatians 5:16. Faith worketh by love. So see, that's what Jesus said. If you love me, you'd believe everything I say. You see how important the love of God is? Praise the Lord. That's what's the motivator. That's what's the increase in our life. And then joy, hallelujah, would be swallowed up in all sorrow. And that goes right back to the abounding hope that you find in Romans 13:15. Disciples here, they're still troubled, aren't they? And why are they troubled? Because they're occupied with their troubles. The disciples are occupied with their own troubles. And when you're occupied with your own troubles, you don't have any room to believe the word. Isn't that something? See, when you're believing the word of God, you don't have any room to be occupied with trouble. Even though trouble's in the room. And it's the truth. Because think about where Jesus is ministering all of this. Right at the time where he said, I'm giving myself over completely. Amen. Just so beautiful, again, of all of the encouragement that's coming to us right now. But there's no room when we're occupied with trouble to rejoice in the perfect plan of God. And see, that's why The Holy Ghost, again, brings the increase of love to get your mind off of you. To get your mind off of you so much as these disciples, they'll eventually die for him. Huh? They're running in fear here, but there's going to be so much love that comes into them that they will gladly die for him. That's what the Holy Ghost does. The last part of this is very sweet too. The Father is greater than I. There's a lot of devilish religions that have gone with this and built religions off of this, trying to disparage and completely reject the deity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Make sure you really understand this. This is speaking solely and totally of the steps down that Jesus willingly took for us. This is why the Father in this context is greater than him. Christ said, it's not robbery for me to be equal with the Father. He said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. He said, the Father and I are one. There's no difference. This here again speaks to Christ, hallelujah, becoming man, becoming one of us. And I'll tell you what, we are inferior to the Father. We are, all right? I know some don't think so, but we are. And this is what Christ became as man. He became the Father's servant. He who was rich for our sakes, what happened? He became poor. But then also, not only did he become poor, he became the lowest of the low. He became sin for us who knew no sin. He became the lowliest so he would be exalted in the highest. How exalted? I'm going to go over a little bit tonight, but it's all well worth it. Amen. Go over to Hebrews chapter 1, and it says there, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now we're starting to rev up here. This is our Jesus. Hallelujah. All right? Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. See, he chose that. He chose that willingly, that obedient unto death, and to sit at the right hand. Being made so much better than the angels as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh the angels, spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. That's the Father speaking to Jesus. Listen to that again. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. You talk about respect, amen? This is it, see? It's not robbery, because he is equal. Know it. Forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness, the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness, hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, look at, he does it again, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, listen to this, what he calls him now. In the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. It's wonderful, isn't it? Do you see how people can take one thing, and it's not people, it's the enemy. And that's how the enemy always does it. Did that to Jesus in the wilderness. Takes bits and pieces of the word of God and tries to turn it around. Get the whole counsel of God. Rightfully divide the word of truth. And it's simple. It's just right there. So thanks be to God in that. Go on with a couple more verses, but let's just go ahead and close this out tonight. Going back, verses 29 through 31 in John here. And let's read that. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, For the prince of this world cometh, Satan, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. So he said this in 13:19 as he begins this out here real quick. He says in John 13:19, now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. How many times the word of God has already told us about our life, amen? Really, think about that. We're going to have trial. We're going to have all of these different things. And he tells us, don't think it strange. The fiery trial. He tells us all this before it ever came to pass. But this is what's so beautiful. The word of his grace, he tells us this, so encouraging beyond, reminding them over and over, even in our unbelief. See, he didn't say, you guys don't get it. Get out of here. I'm going to work with a different set of guys or something like that. No, I chose you. I chose you in your weakness and your unbelief and all the things I know about you guys. Peter, before night's over, you're going to deny me 3 times. It's not looking good, Peter, but I love you to the end. Amen? Hallelujah. And soon, Jesus would be utterly alone. Utterly alone. Alone like nobody would ever know alone. Completing all the will of the Father. And he tells him, Satan has nothing in me. What he's saying there, Satan has nothing to do with me. What he's saying there, Satan has no power over me. Okay? He might try to tell you these things, but I'm telling you right now emphatically, there's nothing. All right? And finally, this is so beautiful how he ends it here. Christ's love to the Father. And how is his love to the Father represented here? By submitting to his will. What a testimony to us, amen, to submit to his will. And praise God, this is his will tonight. Amen. You're saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. We're knowing more, amen, because of him. This is his will, praise God. And, you know, you could say, well, I guess I could do that or that or that. No, this is it. This is what he wants for our life. His plan. And for Jesus, the plan was willing to be made sin. Utterly alone, forsaken, completely placed in the clutches of the devil. But what does our Lord say? Let us arise. Let us make haste. Let's get this going. This joy that's set before me, let's not delay. Let's bring it on. Amen? Paul. Finish with that full joy. Praise be to God. Sweet times. Amen. All right, let's stand and be dismissed.